Stepping down from the embankment, Mildred tested her weight on the salt, then jumped a few times. Unlike the desert sand, this material neither yielded nor cracked in any way.
Solid as rock. Just stay razor and go around any domes.
Often when a saltfall hit, there were pockets of air trapped underneath, forming low domes that would crack apart when walked upon and send a person falling for yards. Ryan never heard of anybody getting aced by a salt dome, but there was always a first time. Besides, sometimes the domes were inhabited. Maybe that was where the Corps lived, in a big dome somewhere. Jack flexed his hand. A blade slipped from his sleeve at the gesture, and he absentmindedly tucked it away again.
In plain sight for miles. Not like that.
But we'll make better time.
Besides that, if we're in view, then anybody coming after us is too.
Smearing a dab of axle grease on her chapped lips, Mildred watched as Doc winced, flexing his shoulders.
How's the back?
Doc gently made a fist.
Itches like the dickens.
Good. That means it's healing.
Furrowing his brow, Doc merely grunted in reply. Pain was part of life. When it stopped, they buried you. Climbing down the embankment, the companion started across the flatland and found the walking much less tiring with a hard surface underfoot. As their speed increased, spirits rose. The sun was past azimuth now and the day was ebbing. Soon it would begin to get cool, and they were making good time. Even if the Corps knew where they were now, it would be impossible for them to strike from below through the hard plain. Everywhere around the companions, the ground sparkled with hidden diamonds, salt crystals, sometimes as large as a fist. Dean found some rusted bits of unidentifiable metal embedded in the hard ground. At a distance, Mildred spotted a half-buried car tire arching up like a croquet hoop. Then JB tripped and fell to the sound of shattering glass. Getting off the ground, the armorer knelt again to see what he had broken.
Nuke me, it's plastic.
He ran a hand across the satiny smooth material.
With neon lights lining the edge. I must have stepped on an intact bulb. I'd say it was some kind of a big electric sign.
Could be an entire building buried under this.
If it happened fast enough, then most of the place would be in good condition. Machinery, clothing, and all we have to do is dig.
Dean scowled and hitched the heavy crossbow on his back.
Yeah, for about a month, with our bare hands in sunlight hot enough to ignite ammo. No thanks.
The crossbow was becoming a real burden to the boy, as the heavy weapon kept hitting him in the kidney, and he was giving serious thought to dumping the crossbow and quiver. A blaster and clips weighed a lot less, and required less maintenance, too.
JB, mark it on your map. Maybe the trader would be interested. But for right now, pulling air into our lungs is my main concern. Keep walking. We rest at night.
Stepping over the buried sign, JB turned away and started walking, when there was a crackling sound, and his leg went into the ground all the way to the knee. Panic hit the man, and as he tried to yank the limb free, cracks spread outward from the small hole, with more pieces of the white ground falling away to enlarge the opening with frightening speed. Suddenly coming loose, JB attempted to dive away from the expanding gap, but not fast enough, and he fell into the blackness below.
John!
Throwing himself forward, Ryan hit the cracking ground and thrust out a hand to try to grab his friend, even though he knew it was totally hopeless.
JB!
Incredibly, Ryan touched cloth, and he grabbed the back of the wiry man's jacket in an iron grip. Then the armorer stood, the top of his hat only inches below the salty plain.
Good Lord!
Doc took a half step forward. In the afternoon light angling into the crevice, the companions could see that JB was standing on the roof of a pre-dark building with a rotary ventilation fan nearby. The unit was normally on top of skyscrapers to use the natural force of the wind to drive fresh air deep into the immense structures. The plastic JB had stepped on could now be seen as part of a rooftop billboard, the faded picture advertising some vid about a flying war wag covered with scantily clad women. The colors were faded, but otherwise the sign was in perfect condition. Beyond the edge of the roof was Stygian darkness, as impenetrable as outer space.
I only fell 5 feet. Damn near thought I was taking a long ride.
Climb onto the billboard. I can hoist you up from there.
But before the armorer could move, a faint vibration shook the entire desert, and 100 tiny puffs of dust rose from different locations across the flatland. Now a horrible stench welled from below, increasing as the cracks began to widen. Visibly, the salt fall was shifting position, huge sections rising and falling slightly.
Oh, Christ. The pressure dropped. When we broke the crust, it let out ancient gases supporting the dome. Like popping a balloon, the whole salt land is starting to collapse.
Ryan started to speak when 100 feet away, a huge section of the sparkling white ground shook and plummeted out of sight.
Get on the roof!
Yeah.
He jumped into the hole. He landed hard, sprawling near the ventilation fan. A foot to the left and he would have been gutted by the salt-encrusted blades. The others were only a heartbeat behind, the white landscape crumbling under their boots. Now the crackling noise seemed to fill the world, and the entire area began to quake, thin cracks shooting in every direction. Then the cracks yawned wide, and the white dome broke apart completely. Coming loose, myriad pieces dropped into the reeking hurricane from below, and the crackling grew into a strident roar that steadily increased in volume and power until the companions were forced to cover their ears. Rancid winds buffeted them from every direction, and the building violently shook, the stone and steel groaning as if in pain. It was as if the world were dying. The tempest was worse than any earthquake they had encountered, louder and more violent than the eruption of a South Seas volcano. Almost as if Skydark had returned to finish the job of destroying the scourge of humanity. Now, billowing clouds of pulverized salt rose over the edge of the building, covering them in a sparkling blizzard. Helpless in the maelstrom, the companions clustered together, fighting to stay alive through the savage pounding and rampaging chaos of the collapsing salt dome. The noise and destruction seemed to last forever. Then slowly, an immense white plume rose into the sky and began to form a horrifying shape of a dreaded mushroom cloud.